Dan Menigan back with you here on The Fan on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline is Eno Saris of The Athletic. Eno, how you been, man?
I'm good. I love the beginning of the season, even though it's a little cold in some places.
Right, it's a tiny bit cold, but at least you get like the awesome sample size theater where you can look at this stuff and go, all right, well, we've been through it for a week, and the greatest hitter in baseball is...
Yeah, you know, Christian Walker is going to hit 350 homers.
Exactly, and Christian Yelich might still hit 162 homers. He's just going to have to hit two in a few games in a row.
Yeah. Right.
So, all right, man. Well, I wanted to get to you with the Indians and that stuff and their incredibly quiet bats. Speaking of small sample size theater, is this something that we should be worried about with how bad the hitting has been for this ball club, or is this just small sample size?
I think there is some real worry in there in that, you know, Lindor is out and they need him in there because this lineup wasn't an amazing lineup to begin with, and then they didn't really go out and improve the outfield that much. I think the fact that the Rays wanted to send pieces and money to go from Jake Bowers to Yandy Diaz says something. I guess Yandy couldn't have played the outfield, so it was part of like trying to fix the outfield. But you know, the big outfield acquisitions were Jake Bowers and Jordan Luplow, and hope for rain, I guess. There were things they could have done in the offseason to make the lineup better that they didn't.
Yeah, and that was the most frustrating thing sitting here in Cleveland too, is you were watching as you're seeing these guys come off the board for below market value deals, a Marwin Gonzalez and AJ Pollock. All of these different names. I mean, you could even argue, I'm not the biggest Adam Jones guy, but you could even toss him in there. And you see this outfield, and it just, you know, you're back to major league where you're seeing the guys sitting around, you know, at the construction site going, who are these guys?
Yeah. And then you throw in an old DH. That's an old trick that the A's used to play all the time with Hanley Ramirez. But, you know, I think the one thing, if I see anything that's interesting to me in the early going is that Hanley doesn't seem to be totally toast yet. So if he is, and Carlos Santana is hitting the ball really hard. One of the things I discovered in my research over the few years is that one really hard hit ball is a big deal. So if you can hit a ball over 110 miles an hour, that's a big deal means a lot for the rest of what you can do. And Carlos Santana already has like three or four of those. And he's leading baseball in that. So, you know, if Carlos is going well and Hanley's okay, then maybe they can just figure it out in the outfield.
Yeah, and the other one that I've actually been impressed with, even like, you know, hit-wise and that stuff, has been Leonis Martin. I mean, he's definitely the kind of guy that seems like he's been, you know, focusing a little bit more on line drives and that stuff than he used to, and he's kind of turning himself into one of the better hitters on his ball club. Now, again, not saying much to start the season, but he's one of the better hitters we're seeing.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing that I also figured out was that people don't really trade for outfielders that often, at least not sort of, you know, major league ones that are under control for a while. Usually people try to find outfielders. The outfield is where you go when you can't play the infield anymore. And so, especially in the corner outfields there. So I have a feeling that they hope that somebody steps forward, be it Luplow, be it Zimmer later on in the year, somebody steps forward and kind of establishes himself as a major league, above average major league outfielder. Martin is at least average, if not better. Then you got yourself two thirds of the way. So I think that's what they were trying to do. Is they collected some lottery tickets. They got guys like Oscar Mercado in trades. They got Luplow. They collected some lottery tickets and they're hoping that they could use the weak division and the early going to see who's going to pop up there.
Oh, the Oscar Mercado hype train is out of control. I mean, the guy, if they sold Pelier shirts for Oscar Mercado, Eno, I swear to you, people would, he'd be like the fifth highest selling jersey. It's out of control for this guy.
Well, I think it'll be exciting. It's exactly what they need. So.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the other one I got to ask you about is just the struggles of Jose Ramirez, and at least in the early going of this season, and even you look back into last season a little bit, like he's really has not been the same guy that he was before. Is this something that we should be concerned about, or is it just small sample size theater?
Well, I know that a lot of people put forward the idea that he's been figured out and that breaking balls, he can't handle breaking balls. But something that I looked at late last season was that he he's swinging less at breaking balls. So if maybe it's breaking balls in the zone, but if he's swinging less at breaking balls and breaking balls are a problem, that suggests to me that it's not a huge problem. It's not a problem that, like, he can't hit breaking balls or he can't see them. You know, he's obviously fooling around with his how often do I swing at breaking balls, which is something that the whole league is trying to figure out because there are more and more breaking balls every year, and there are more and more strikeouts. So it's not I don't think this is something like Jorge Soler can't hit breaking balls inside the zone. And he can't even spot them. He can't even really tell them apart, really. So he's got more of a fundamental flaw. This with Jose Ramirez, I think, is a little bit of tinkering with his overall approach. There might be a little bit of a health issue right now, considering the foul balls. There's two of them now that he's fouled off of various appendages. So that could be a concern. But I think overall, in terms of talent level, I believe he's still a top-tier talent in the league.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's still small sample size, but it's definitely seemed like, especially with my limited baseball knowledge, is when you start fouling balls off yourself, like, you have a serious problem on your hands. And whether that's because your swing is getting a little out of control or you're just so early onto the ball and that stuff, like, you should not be fouling balls off your knee. Like, that's just, I can't figure that one out for the life of me.
I guess so. I mean, it may not be a great sign. But, you know, fouling is a step above missing. Fouling means he's still got that great hit tool, which he has. He's still getting the bat to the ball. But it is a timing issue. You're right. And, you know, maybe timing issue, considering that it's early and cold, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Right, and I'm on the same boat as that one. Eno Sars of The Athletic joining us. All right, so now I got to ask you about the pitching staff. What do you think of Trevor Bauer and his brand-new changeup?
I think it's good. It has more depth than it used to. It's a different pitch in his arsenal. It's changed in movement. He spent the whole offseason working on it. And the last time he spent the whole offseason working on pitch, it was that slider. And I really think that his dedication to these new pitches is huge. We know that every added pitch means that you can go further into the game. You know, these are like statistical things we've found. The third time through the order is better the more pitches you have. So, you know, just by believing in it and trusting it, he's already better. And by looking at it, I think it's a great pitch.
Yeah, I mean, he's been insane in the early part of the season. He's been fantastic through the two starts, and even going back into last year and that stuff, I still swear the guy should have won the Cy Young if he wouldn't have had the ball fall off or crack off of his shin. I mean, he probably would have been the Cy Young winner. But
yeah, and I predicted him to win it this year with that changeup. Just, you know, he doesn't have the greatest natural command, maybe, but the league isn't really valuing command the same way. And if you just throw nasty stuff towards the zone like he does, you're going to get strikeouts.
Right, and he's one of those guys that's focused so much on tunneling and all that kind of stuff that, I mean, it's really hard to decipher anything that's coming out of his hands. I mean, it all looks the same until all of a sudden it's three quarters of the way there and you're hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Well, the other one, so that was the positive one. So now the one that's a little more concerning, what do you think of Corey Kluber's had a little bit of, like, it seems like his velocity is down a bit and the movement looks like it's still there. What do you think of Kluber in the early part of the season so far?
He always worries me a little bit because one of the things that is kind of hidden under the table, under the hood there with Corey Kluber is that he doesn't have great fastballs. He's pretty good command of them. But his whole game plan kind of comes off of that breaking ball, you know, the big, whatever you want to call it, curve or slider. Everything comes off of that. So he actually sort of pitches backwards in a way, and he pitches off of fear of that breaking ball rather than having, you just look at the velocities, really, with Bauer out there pumping 95, 96 in the sixth inning. Kluber is a more restrained 91, 92. And if you just look at movements and the results on his fastballs, they've been close to average. Now, if you put average next to one of the best breaking balls in the game and a good cutter, you're a good pitcher. But that's why I've always been a little nervous about him, are the fastballs.
Yeah, and it just seems like, you know, we're hitting the point now where, And I'm still in the camp. Like, I still think Corey Kluber is a really good pitcher. I think he's one of the top-tier pitchers in this league and all that stuff. But we're starting to see a little bit of a trend that I worry that Father Time might be catching up to him a little bit between the velocity dropping, and it seems like his command isn't quite as pinpoint as it used to be. And is that one of those things you look for when Father Time comes knocking?
Yeah. I think that sorry about that.
You're good, dude. No worries.
Yeah, I think that you know, one of the things that's instructive is that the Indians put Kluber out on the market this offseason and didn't quite get the response they wanted. And I think that they would have preferred to have traded Corey Kluber to any of their other arms. And they didn't get the offers they wanted. So the marketplace has already spoken and kind of put him in maybe the second tier of aces or whatever.
Yeah, and I think that is the case, and it's a bit of a bummer. You know, it stinks when it happens, but we'll see. Maybe he can figure out how to have that second act, like a Greg Maddux or somebody like that, where you just become even more pinpoint with that control. Or, you know,
yeah,
maybe
the command, I think, is a big key. Because if you look at Zach Greinke in Arizona, yes, he has bad starts every once in a while, and yes, you wouldn't want him maybe necessarily as the ace of your team going into the play. Like, you wouldn't want him as the number one, you know?
Right.
But with his great command, Greinke has managed to be pretty good into his late 30s.
Yeah.
So I think command is, you know, we don't search it out, but it is something that leads to longevity. And in this case, you know, we'll just have to hope that Kluber finds the command again, even if he's not going to necessarily reach back and touch 95 anymore.
I'm with you. I'm hoping for it because it would definitely make a really nice second act. All right, we got to turn into, I think, everybody's biggest mess, and I totally understand that bullpens are erratic and that stuff, but the Cleveland Indian bullpen is scaring me like you wouldn't believe. So is there anybody that's in there that could possibly turn the corner that maybe the numbers or something are seeing that, you know, has just had a little bit of bad luck, or is it kind of is what it is, and around the deadline we'll be picking up the phone and calling up the Miami Marlins and asking for Drew Streckenrider?
Yeah, I think they will be looking to add to this bullpen. The thing is that they, other than the Hand and Simber trade in the past, they've traded for relievers. They've traded for relievers. I shouldn't say that. Hand, his velocity is down. Simber, I think they were hoping that he could hit both sides of the plate with his command, but he's been mostly a guy you only want out there against righties. And I think they are looking for people to step up into that late mix. But they don't quite have it yet, and they don't have the luxury of necessarily changing some of their starting pitchers into relievers like they used to, maybe with Zach McAllister, or how the Brewers have been doing with their starters. So they need all their starters basically, and nobody stepped up in the pen yet. But again, this is like the outfield. I think they planned for this. They're going to be, you know, a slightly above 500 team and pretty much run away with the division. And in the meantime, they're going to be looking for relievers and outfielders. And these are the kinds of people that pop up in a given season. There's going to be somebody in the minors that's, you know, two or three ticks up this year for some reason, has cleaned up something in his mechanics or added a new pitch that they're going to bring into the major league squad at some point soon. So, you know, relievers are and outfielders, yes, those are their big problems. I would say the biggest takeaway for me on the early season is, those are good problems to have. Those are the places where it's easiest to find somebody.
So you're not a Minnesota Twins believer, I take it?
No, I am. I think they're gonna make them, like, you run for the money. The nice thing about the Twins is they have a bunch of young players, and their relief staff has seemed to have figured itself out early. I'm just not sure about their starting rotation, and I really thought they should have signed Keuchel or Kimbrel this offseason, and you know, I think that would have been a big deal for them. But I do think that the Twins are going to hang out and be in the wild card race and push the Indians. But the Indians overall, once Lindor is healthy, yeah, Lindor, Ramirez up the middle, Bauer, Kluber, I mean, the Bieber, Clevenger, I mean, that rotation is amazing. In the end, they're going to win out.
All right, so I got to end it with this. What are you drinking?
We're having a meetup tonight in San Diego.
Nice. I'll get on a plane.
The Thorn Street Brewery, so I'll be having probably a crisp West Coast I kind of lean session these days because I got these kids and I got a gut I'm trying to get rid of. So I'll probably be having like a nice light fruity pale around 5%, something like that.
Very nice. Well, that sounds lovely. All right, what have you been drinking lately that you've enjoyed that I can go find around by me? Because I'm always looking for something different. I mean, I've been drinking a lot of. I'm a hop head. I'll pretty much drink anything. So.
Well, here's an interesting one that I had the other night. Firestone Walker has a hazy beer out, and I forget what it's called. Mind Haze is what it's called. And it's worth it, I think, for me, for people that aren't as much of an enthusiast, don't know where the hot breweries are, don't go wait in line for beers, that sort of thing, to try out basically the biggest trend in beer right now, which are these low bitterness, very fruity smelling, kind of Hefeweizen looking, like kind of thick looking beers, hazy beers. And I think of the ones that are nationally available, my favorite is the Firestone Walker Mind Haze. It should be in your local grocery store.
Killer, man. I'll go find it. He is our beer expert. He is also the analytics guru for The Athletic. He's Eno Saris. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks a lot.